This is Mark McNeese, and you're listening to One Thing or Another, Interviews and Conversations. Welcome to the podcast. This is your host, Mark, and today I have the pleasure of having on a guest who recently narrated one of my audiobooks, Beautiful Corpse, a Kyle Callahan mystery. His name is Sean Reed. He's been in the narration business for the past 2 years and currently has over 20 titles available for download on Audible. His favorite genres to narrate are fantasy and mystery, but there is no genre he wouldn't like to take on. When he's not narrating, Sean spends his time teaching music to the younger generation, singing musical theater songs, and duetting sea shanties on TikTok. Sean, hello, how are you?
Very good, Mark. Thank you for having me.
You're in Chicago, by the way, correct?
Yes. I'm in the suburb Blue Island, which is just outside the city of Chicago. So it's in the south suburbs.
Now, when we first communicated, did I mention that I grew up near Chicago?
I think you did. I think you did mention that.
Yeah, Elkhart, Indiana, South Bend, it's right across the lake. I've been to Chicago.
Okay.
I've been to Chicago lots of times. I used to love to go there. But the podcast is about you, not me. So we're going to get into some questions. I was looking at your audiobooks that you've narrated so far, and you've got Dragon Chameleon Book 3, Dragon Chameleon Episodes 1 through 4. Can you talk a little bit? I'm curious about those books, those audiobooks.
Sure. Well, Dragon Chameleon was the very first audiobook deal I ever got, and that was a deal for a 12 installment series. These are very much geared towards younger readers, like teenagers probably at the oldest. And it's, like I said, it's a 12-part novella series following the adventures of Tor, the dragon rider, and his dragon companion, Saberok. And it's all about how he learns to navigate how to become a dragon rider without having ever gone to dragon school, and fighting off a bunch of evil forces that threaten to wreak havoc over the community.
Did you finish them? Did you do all the books?
Yes, the books are now completed. So they are available in individual installments, and the episodes 1 through 4 that you previously mentioned, they're available in bundles of 4 as well. So you can get them 4 at a time, 1 through 4, 5 through 9, excuse me, and then 5 through 8, and then 9 through 12.
Okay. You also did an audiobook. This one I caught my eye. Hydroponics. Find out how to build a DIY hydroponic system at home and quickly start growing vegetables, fruits, and herbs without soil. I just thought that was interesting that you know.
And that was by far the most different from anything I've ever done thus far. I had to learn a lot about plants because I know absolutely nothing about plants.
Now, give us a little bit of the 411 on Sean Reed. Who, what, where? We know Chicago, but did you just, appear in Chicago? What's your life story in the Cliff Notes version?
Okay. Well, I've always grown up in the south suburbs of Chicago. As I mentioned before, I'm currently living in Blue Island. But I grew up in Evergreen Park, which is another suburb only about 15, 20 minutes away. So I've always stayed relatively in the area, with a fairly easy-ish commute into the city whenever I've needed it for various theater jobs that I've had over the years. I joke with people about how I'm a music teacher by day, a performer by night, and a nerd 24/7. So... So I am a general music teacher for grades pre-K through 8, and I teach at a few different schools throughout the week. That's my current day job, and I absolutely adore it. And up until the pandemic, I was auditioning for various theater productions and was fortunate enough to be involved in a few of them. Actually, we had just closed a production of Moby Dick, the musical, just a few weeks before the pandemic originally hit us last March. So that was the last thing I did. But now with that, I've got more downtime to spend recording in my makeshift studio at home and continuing to put myself out there for various audiobook productions. And I happen to be involved in a couple of them as we speak.
Very good. Music obviously is a big part of your life. And I was curious about that, the arc of that. Is that something that you had that was part of your life when you were a child? Was it a passion? How did you become a teacher? You know, and what role does music play in your life?
I think from a very early age, I've always been drawn to the musical elements of film. I grew up watching a lot of movies, and I've loved the Disney musicals that everyone grew up on. In addition to the film scores, I think one of the first things that got me wanting to pursue music was the Disney animated short of Peter and the Wolf. And I was just so fascinated by how each instrument is associated with a certain character. And so that prompted me to join the band in fifth grade. And I played the French horn, which is the wolf's instrument, for those who do not know. And from there, I grew to discover a passionate love for musical theater and singing in addition to playing in the band. I'm not playing the French horn right now, but I have continued to sing in my adult life. And how I became a teacher, honestly, that wasn't part of the original plan, but it was something that just sort of happened right after I graduated college. I graduated with a performance degree, and then through word of mouth, I found out that there was a teaching position that happened to be open, and I went for it, and I was fortunate enough to get the job on the spot, and I realized, that'd be a really good way for me to share what I love about music with the younger generation, and they can take from it what they will. Hopefully some of them will discover things that they love about music and kind of make their own path with it. Or if they choose not to, that's perfectly okay too.
Now, I'm assuming that you've been teaching remotely the past year or part of it?
Funnily enough, we've actually been in person for the entire school year.
Oh, wow.
Since August of 2020.
That's great. Because I was going to ask you how you teach music with Zoom, but it doesn't sound like you've had to do that.
No, we did it when everything shut down in like the latter half of the 1920 academic year. And then we regrouped in person in August. So yeah, no, I didn't have to do too much Zooming compared to other places. But it did take some navigating, some figuring out, because music is such an interactive, hands-on activity. Mm-hmm. And, unfortunately, we're in a time where singing isn't safe, getting into groups isn't safe, having public performances isn't safe. So we've had to figure out something else. But I'm very happy with what I've been able to do despite what we couldn't do. I always did a Christmas concert with the students every year. But instead of a live concert, we filmed each class on its own, doing Christmas carols in American Sign Language. So there was no vocals, no spreading of air. It was all done with their hands, and it was an absolutely beautiful thing. I was happy to see how well they took to it.
Do you sign?
It's been a challenging year, but we've been able to make it work, all things considered.
Now, do you sign?
I'm not fluent in it. Okay. I had to brush up and I had to learn in order to teach them. But my sister does sign. She got her degree in American Sign Language from McMurray College in Jacksonville, Illinois. And so she's very fluent in it. So she's been able to help me navigate that.
Now, I want to ask you about audiobook narration that you've been doing for the past 2 years, and then eventually sure. also about your singing, because I like your videos, your TikTok videos. But how did you discover audiobook narration and get into that?
Well, growing up, I was always a lot more of an audio learner and a hands-on learner than a visual one. So just sitting down and reading the books that I loved was not really working for me, because as much as I wanted to sit down and read, I was always a person who distracted very easily. So the audio element definitely helped me focus up a lot more. So I grew up listening to Jim Dale narrating the Harry Potter series, and I was just so blown away with what he was able to do with all of those characters. And I realized, you know what, I think this is something that I would love to do. So I took some voiceover classes during and after graduating college. And basically through word of mouth, I met a whole bunch of people who were able to get into that industry. And I kind of asked how they did it. And they said, oh, go here, learn from this person. So I took a one to two night seminar from Kevin Tice, who in the Chicagoland area has been an audiobook veteran for most of his, he's been an audiobook narrator for most of his adult life. So he was able to give a really good amount of insight, especially for people who don't necessarily have the money to spend on recording in a really expensive studio. The great thing about narration is that anyone can do it if they have the right home setup. Mm-hmm. And so spending the money that I had to just to get the bare essentials that I needed, I was able to kind of get my foot in the door. I joined ACX, which is how you and I first met. Mm-hmm. And I realized just how many opportunities there are from people who want to turn their work into an audiobook for people who may not necessarily benefit from just sitting down and reading a physical book like myself. So that's pretty much that's how I got into it, and the rest is history.
Now, briefly, what's the process for an audiobook narrator? I mean, I know several narrators, and I do a lot of recording, but what's your process? What's a 1 day work experience for you as an audiobook narrator?
Well, the first thing I always love to do as soon as I get an offer and I'm given the manuscript is I like to sit down and read it from beginning to end, especially for a fiction, like a fantasy or a mystery, because I want to know where each character is going. I want to know not just which voices to give the characters, but how to necessarily inflect certain lines. And understanding their motivations from beginning to end makes a huge difference in understanding how to navigate that. So that's the first thing I do, is I read it from start to finish. And then when I'm ready, I get myself into the makeshift studio that I've got in the corner of my bedroom, which has been working great for me. And depending on the length of the book, I'll have the goal of recording maybe one chapter at a time. One to two chapters, or if it's novella, I might even do 3 to 4 chapters at a time, because some chapters are as short as 2 pages in length. So depending on the book, I'll have a certain amount in mind that I want to accomplish. And then on my editing days, I sit down anywhere in my house, usually in my living room. And I set aside this much amount of time, usually a couple hours in a day, to edit. My goal is usually 15 minutes to a half hour of uncut audio, which can It can take, as I said, 2 to 3 hours because you're getting rid of all the bad takes, all the background noise. You have to listen to it carefully in order to make sure that it's what you want to be putting out there. So it does take up a lot of time, but it is incredibly rewarding when you get your finished product and you're able to upload it and submit it to the author. And even more so when you get that notification, hey, your book has gone live and it's out there in the world.
What software do you use?
I record and edit in Audacity, which is free on any computer.
Now,
Oh,
go ahead.
Oh, no worries. I also use the Levelator to help balance out my sound waves, which is, it's a super easy software. I drag my my raw wave file into it, and then it just automatically does the work for me. So I bring that out of the Levelator and back into Audacity, and then I go and I master everything from there. But yeah, Audacity through and through.
I'm just picking your brain a little bit, then I'll move on.
Sure.
Because I use WavePad. I got a Mac, and there's a software called WavePad and MixPad that I have always liked, and I just wasn't sure what other people were doing. And then I'm always curious too, because I know ACX has, like, they've got a floor, they've got these not standards, what do you call them? Specs. So how do you set Audacity to where it needs to be so that it passes their review?
I do. I always have my built-in microphone is always set at a certain level. I think it's at 80, I want to say. But yeah, I have that set, and usually that helps put everything into place. More so after I put it through the Levelator, which brings up my initial recording sound waves. But yeah, I'm able to do a quick check. I think the latest version of Audacity should have a little feature where you can see whether or not it does meet the ACX requirements.
Interesting. Really interesting. I'm just curious. I tried to do some narration of my own, just not for audio, but because I'm not a professional, but just to do it because I've always wanted to do it. And I like to read my own stuff sometimes, but it's really pretty labor intensive, you know.
It definitely can be.
It takes a long time, and then that's I am really impressed with what narrators do, and the amount of time it takes, and what you have to put into it to get a really good sounding audiobook. Now, are you a bass? I know you sing.
I am. I am a bass singer. Yes.
Your TikTok videos, I love them. It's Sean Reed, R-H-E-A-D, on TikTok. And I didn't know they were on TikTok because I'm not a TikToker, but I've seen them on Facebook. Are you recording those with the ones you do with other people? Are you collaborating on those?
Some of them are with friends that I already happen to know, but a lot of them are complete strangers, which is really, really cool. For those who don't know, who have never used TikTok in their life, TikTok has a feature on most videos, if the user allows it, where you can duet, which means that you can add on your own little addition to whatever they've already put out there. So it can be their video, and then once you duet it, like their video will still exist, but like you'll have your own that includes that as well. So like these are all, not all, most of these people I've never met in person before in my life.
Really?
But
I thought they were friends.
Yeah. But that's what's really cool about this particular app is that you can see people from all over the world and just collaborate with them and make something really, really cool. And I'm grateful that people seem to enjoy what I've been adding. I'm by far not the first bass to ever go on TikTok and show my low notes. And I don't even think I'm the best bass on TikTok, but I'm grateful to be part of the community, especially with sea shanties. I am surprised and happy that sea shanties are very popular right now.
Tell people what a sea shanty is. I mean, it sounds self-explanatory, but...
Yeah, I mean, it's typically... It's a song about a song about life on the sea or at the dock. It's some kind of work song, and it's its own genre in itself. It usually centers around life on the sea or life getting ready to go out to sea, kind of in the same way a lot of country songs are about riding your pickup truck.
Yeah. Now, what does the future hold for you, or what do you want it to hold for you?
What I am hoping is that we'll see an end to this pandemic, and a lot of us will be back on stage. Those of us who were live theater performers, I know we all absolutely miss seeing shows, being on stage, being in shows. So I'm hoping we see a sooner rather than later return to live theater. And hopefully when that happens, I already know there are some shows that I want to do specifically. Hades in Hadestown is probably the most prominent one. For those who don't know, Hadestown is the last Broadway musical to win the Tony Award for Best Musical in 2019. And just in general, just a return to theater. I think we all want to see that. Just a return to normal life, whatever that means for
you. Yes, however it will be shaped, because it will be different, certainly. We moved here... Frank and I moved here permanently to our New Jersey little house in the woods about 3.5 years ago. And we lived in New York City. I mean, I lived there for 25 years. And we haven't been back for the past year because the bus stopped running. You know, there was a bus that would go to Port Authority and actually come right very close to where we are. And the whole pandemic thing. So I'm looking forward to going back to the city. I want to see what it's like. I want to see the new terminal, Tip O'Neill Terminal. I think that's what it is. But yes, it's going to be so strange for me to go into Manhattan in a post-pandemic world, because the masks aren't going away. We've both been vaccinated, fully vaccinated, but the masks...
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. It's going to be a while before the masks are gone. I have to wear one for work because I work in a grocery store. Whatever shape our reality takes in the coming months, or perhaps a year longer than that, it will not be what it was. That's certainly true. I don't think
it won't. I don't think we will see a complete end to masks in general. Like, I know personally, even after the pandemic, like well after it, if I'm feeling even the slightest bit sick, I am 1,000% wearing a mask to work or rehearsal or wherever I happen to be going that day.
I really appreciate the fact that it has. It hasn't gotten rid of flu incidents, but the incidence of the flu is way, 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 way down because of all this. So even people who think that there's some sort of civil rights issue involved, which is insane, just to not have the flu for a year, because I would get the shot and I would still get the flu every year. And it's because we transmit these viruses and bacteria to each other all the time. So I would love to see that kept at bay a lot more, whatever happens, because I liked spending the last year without getting sick. I mean, I haven't been sick at all. It's really nice, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, I want to thank you for coming on the podcast. You have a great voice. You know, you really do.
Thank you.
When you submitted your audition for Beautiful Corpse, I was joking in the beginning, by the way, about liking to do my books, but I just really liked your voice, and I would be more than happy to work with you again. So we'll see what happens, because I'm taking some of my books, not off of Audible at all, but with ACX you can go non-exclusive. So I wanted to see if I could get them out on more platforms and through more distribution channels and see what happens with that. But I would work with you again in a heartbeat, Sean. I really would.
Well, thank you so much, Mark. I couldn't agree more. I would definitely love to work with you again. I absolutely really enjoy your writing and what you're able to put out there. I was thinking about this as I look back on all the project that I've been fortunate enough to narrate so far. I think if there's one book that constantly kept me engaged was Beautiful Corpse. And I think that that's something that you do really, really well, particularly with Beautiful Corpse. You know, you make Marshall James a very likable protagonist who's in the situation that you just want to see him get out of. And you make him very relatable by giving his backstory, something that a lot of people can look at and say, yeah, I remember exactly going through that. And, you know, it's a whole bunch of things that escalate simply just because he says the wrong thing. And, you know, and that definitely humanized him for me too, because, you know, how many times in our lives have we said the wrong thing to someone we really care about mm-hmm. and just wanted to make it better? So that's been a constant for me as I was going through that book. I just wanted to see things get better. So I was on my toes waiting for that to happen the entire time. And I think that's a testament to how well you write in general.
Well, thanks for making my day. There's a third one on the way, by the way, and there will be one more Marshall James book. But
fantastic.
Yes, and the Kyle Callahan book I'm thinking about. But anyways, thank you so much again, and good luck with everything there. I know we'll stay in touch, and it's been really, really a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you so much for having me, Mark. It's a pleasure to talk to you as well.
All right. You have a good day.
You too. Thank you.
This is Mark McNeese, and you've been listening to One Thing or Another, Interviews and Conversations.